Everyone, I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today, and we're going to learn about how quercetin can help halt bone destruction in patients with rheumatoid arthritis. Who says? Two universities, Konkuk and Woosuk Universities in South Korea, published in the Journal of Medicinal Food. We have about 15 other important studies I'll be going to. Again, always from peer-reviewed journals, always from respected institutions, and always how we can improve the quality of our lives. Also today, brand new, an in-depth investigative report on Wikipedia. And the topic of today's report is going to be on why Wikipedia hates acupuncture. Now, why am I doing this? Plus, I'll be reading a letter that our internal lawyers have written to the Wikipedia board and its fiduciaries. Here's why I'm doing more and more of these, and I'll do 100 more over the next 12 months. Because never before in my career have I seen the deep state now showing its full face in Brennan, now hired by a so-called liberal democratic institution, and Clapper, head of the National Security Agency. These are deep state people who are controlling virtually all of the liberal media in the United States. Not the independent media, but the liberal media, yes. And now we have Facebook joining with Google and other accounts to censor information that is valuable on a wide range of topics. For example, the health of our environment, the dangers of GMOs, the questions behind the safety and efficacy of vaccines, especially when you've had at least 5 million people impacted, including the children, between 1 to 2 million children with autism spectrum disorder alone. And they're the minority of children who've been vaccine damaged. Add in those with, let's say, delayed development or some form of mental tics and some that have had brain damage, and then it's much higher. What would happen if it were decided by independent science and medicine that all this could have been prevented, that it was 1986 that President Reagan, for political and economic reasons, allowed the vaccine exemption that exempted them from being able to be sued? Would they have produced the same number of vaccines? Would have they mandated vaccines? The answer is absolutely not. And you would have seen vaccines that were safer, and you wouldn't have seen the whole movement to mandate them. Well, that's the only way that we're going to stop this madness, is by having national campaigns led by religious organizations and their practitioners, all of whom have been victimized, but especially those of African Americans, because they have been victimized more than others, because it was shown by the CDC's own Dr. William Thompson that injuries to vaccinated with the MMR vaccine, African-American boys, 36 months and younger, was over 224% greater. That means at least 100,000 African-American boys had autism or other brain or neurological injuries because of a known toxicant and damage due to that vaccine. It was hidden, covered up. Now, there's no statute of limitations against murder and against crimes against humanity. And I believe that at least manslaughter and crimes against humanity charges should be brought with every single person, including the head of the CDC, under successive administrations. So you see, your rights are being eroded. Our constitutional rights are being eroded. Barack Obama probably the worst president in American history, even worse than George Bush, not in intellect, because he was fully aware of what he was doing. And he created 7 different military conflicts around the world, regime changes that led to over 1 million people being displaced and tens of thousands dead, and not a single criticism on the left. So when an entire group of journalists, fully capable and fully resourced, could expose any of this, and they've exposed nothing, not a scintilla. And yet anyone who speaks truth to the lie is the victim. Then you better be careful. As I said recently, everyone in the religious community, especially the ultra-religious community, was up in arms, and rightly so, when they found that there was no religious exemption against vaccines. Now the entire ultra-Orthodox Jewish community is not all anti-vaccine. There are members within it that are pro-vaccine, but they are a minority. The majority are. And then they found out they had no rights. So who spoke on their behalf? We did. Who wrote the article showing the fraud of the vaccines as being mandated? We did. Who led demonstrations? We did. Who stopped all the doctors and nurses from having to take 4 vaccines about 8 years ago? And all 4 contain mercury, 24 micrograms. That's a very high dose. That's a dose that is beyond the body's tolerance by over 2,000%. And we did it within 24 hours and stopped that legislation from passing. We did. Quercetin. Quercetin. According to this study, people suffering from rheumatoid arthritis, that's millions of people in the United States, can find relief from their symptoms from a polyphenol called quercetin. Now, you eat an apple, you're getting quercetin. You eat an onion, you're getting quercetin. But I don't believe we're going to get enough from an apple or an onion, so we should take about 2,000 milligrams in divided doses, 500 milligrams 4 times a day. And that will help with any form of chronic autoimmune disease. Now, rheumatoid arthritis is a chronic autoimmune disease. It primarily affects the joints. But it is also affecting the immune system, which means you're causing inflammation. It can go to the brain, the heart, the muscles, the lungs, the eyes. So all the conditions we're now looking at saying, gee, what causes this? It's your immune system, more often than not, and inflammation backing that up. So turn off the inflammation. I always suggest you take vitamin C with your quercetin, half the quercetin of a full measure of vitamin C. So if you took 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, you take 500 milligrams of quercetin. From Jilin University, which is in China, comes a study about black garlic. Now, most people have never seen black garlic or use it, but it's proven to treat heart disease and the common cold. I suggest you take echinacea, astragalus, and pau d'arco with vitamin C in a drink in the morning, which is primarily green apple with a tablespoon of lemon juice, tablespoon of ginger, and a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. That'll knock out a cold pretty quickly. Now, we know that garlic is one of the most beneficial medicinal foods. It supports your cardiovascular health, your brain health, your immune system. It's really good. And black garlic is different from regular garlic in that it is aged and heated over the course of several weeks, which turns it black. Now, we know that 1 in 7 deaths in the United States results from coronary heart disease. So natural ways of approaching are important. And this was a placebo-controlled human clinical trial using black garlic extract as a treatment for people with coronary heart disease. And it improved their blood circulation, increased their circulatory antioxidant levels, improved quality of life, increase their walking distance, and improve their left ventricle ejection fraction. So that is good. And you don't have to take a lot of it, about 2.5 grams. That's not a lot. That's like a quarter of a teaspoon. Depression is linked with lower fruit and vegetable intake among older and men and women. This University of Toronto published in the British Medical Journal of Psychiatry. And it shows that the more fruits and vegetables and the more omega-3 fatty acids, the less depressed you become. This was a study of 27,162 men and women, 45 to 85, who participated in the Canadian Longitudinal Study on Aging. And they found that you're far more likely to become depressed when you don't have the fruits and vegetables and omega-3 fatty acids. And that's very significant. Separately from the University of Birmingham, which is in the United Kingdom, the link between inflammation, there's your hot dogs, hamburgers, pizzas, coffee, colas, alcohol, and mental sluggishness. Now, a lot of times, you're simply a little mentally sluggish because you've been working too much, reading too much computer time, and you get a little sluggish. Generally, it passes in about 3 or 4 hours, especially if you just rest and meditate, relax. But scientists at the University of Birmingham, in collaboration with the University of Amsterdam, have uncovered a possible explanation for the mental sluggishness that often accompanies illness. And we're talking about millions of people who have mental sluggishness, and they found the link in the mental fog and inflammation. So turn off the inflammation in the body, and you can help turn off mental sluggishness. This is published in NeuroImage, the peer-reviewed journal. So what causes inflammation? Everything that you hear talked about on the show, things such as alcohol and caffeine and processed foods and all that junk food that you see every commercial that they're trying to get you to eat, that your body is going to respond negatively to every single item in there. So eat a healthy plant-based diet, lots of juices, take your proper supplements, and you reduce your inflammatory process substantially. Ginkgo inhibits cerebral ischemia-induced inflammatory response, according to China Pharmaceutical University. So what's that mean in just lay language? It means that ginkgo, G-I-N-K-G-O, ginkgo biloba, the traditional Chinese medicine known for treating stroke and other cardiocerebral vascular diseases for thousands of years, it is able to protect you from a stroke, and if you have a stroke, it's able to help you diminish the effects of the stroke. From Nanyang Technical University in Singapore, it talked about the gut and bacteria and altering your aging process. So an international research team led by the Nanyang Technological University in Singapore has found that microorganisms, the good bacteria living in your gut, can alter the aging process, which could lead to the development of food-based treatment to slow it down. Now, we're doing that right now. In fact, we're on the final countdown. We have only about 10 days, 12 days left in our anti-aging clinical study on campus. The results have been absolutely spectacular, and our final blood workup occurs in 2 weeks today. And then it's over, at least that part of it's over. There's an observational period that occurs after that. But for as far as measuring the blood workup, my goodness, we have seen some phenomenal changes. But the people here are getting about 50 billion, this with a B, probiotics and prebiotics every day. In fact, several of the juices are loaded with prebiotics and probiotics. So that means that with a plant-based diet, and it's a vegan diet, they're recolonizing constantly good bacteria, and they don't have sugar, they don't have alcohol, and they don't have refined carbohydrates, they don't have what we call aged foods. They're eating fresh, clean, live foods and lots of it. So I would say that the gastrointestinal the microbiome in their guts are going to be as healthy as any Americans you've ever seen. And that means they're slowing down their aging process. That also means they're helping prevent diseases. So that's good. Remember, you have 10 times more microorganisms in your body, bacteria, than you have cells. So why not make sure that you increase the importance of healthy gut bacteria? And you can control that very easily. For pregnant women, the Medical University of Vienna, which is in Austria, found that a high-fat diet while you're pregnant can cause brain damage in the unborn child. Researchers at the Medical University of Vienna Center for Brain Research has found that high-fat diets, that's your normal American diet, can cause lifelong changes in the brains of the onboard offspring. So when you're eating a lot of the omega-6 fatty acids, canola oil and corn oil and peanut oil, the body produces an excess of endogenous cadmonoids, which overload the fetal system and impair the development of healthy brain networks. And that's the mechanism such as it's relevant to the pathologies such as ADHD and anxiety disorders. And it's not easy to reverse any of that damage. And Orthodox has not reversed any of that damage. This was published in Molecular Psychiatry. So just remember, when you're pregnant, every single thing that you drink or eat will impact the developing fetus. Become intentionally aware. Therefore, plenty of good information out there of how to have a healthy diet when you're pregnant. I like hibiscus. I like hibiscus tea. I make a sun tea. I grow hibiscus. So I'll take, and by the way, I got to get to it before the iguanas get to it. Iguanas love hibiscus, and they can just thrive on it. And iguanas are vegan, and they love the sun. They love sunbathing. They love hibiscus. One day I came out, and one of the hibiscus trees completely stripped of all the hibiscus flowers. But if you enjoy hibiscus, do you know that the University of Windsor, which is in Canada, published an article just this week in the BMC's Complementary and Alternative Medicine Journal that hibiscus flowers are the, quote, death sentence for breast cancer cells? That's terrific news. And they have a potent anti-cancer property. And they found that the extracts not only induce cell death in breast cancer cells, it does so without harming non-cancer cells. And the team also noted in the study that using hibiscus extract as an adjuvant can increase the effectiveness of any other therapy that's being used. So as many people are getting breast cancer, this is one more piece of the puzzle that can help them. So just remember, a flower that causes cancer cells to die, it's also called Chinese hibiscus. And it's been studied extensively, and the flower's extract possess antioxidant and lipid-lowering properties. And this was a study through the National Defense Medical Center and showed that it inhibited triple-negative breast cancer with few toxic side effects. So that's good. And intermittent fasting increases longevity in cardiac catheterization patients from the Intermountain Medical Center in Utah. So intermittent fasting, and we're doing that right now. The last meal people have is at 5 o'clock, and then they don't eat another meal until around 9 o'clock the next morning, and that's a liquid meal. So their bodies had a chance to fast, and then every Saturday and Sunday, it's just liquids all day, unless they're hypoglycemic. But otherwise, everyone else is doing great. And that intermittent fasting, it's not a diet craze. It's a practice routinely used by those who are well into the health field and understand why that intermittent fasting is so good for your body and so good for the telomeres that wrap around the chromosomes, the end caps of the chromosomes. So where the average American diet and overeating and excessive caloric intake speed up the aging process, intermittent fasting slows down the aging process. And also, for those of you who have painful diabetic neuropathy, the University of Oradea, which is in Romania, found that two nutrients, alpha-lipoic acid, I suggest around 600 milligrams, and benfenamine can lower that pain threshold substantially. And also, sugar binges increase the risk of inflammatory bowel disease, according to the University of Alberta. This was published in Scientific Reports. So remember, when you get on one of those emotional rips where you just feel depressed or anxious about something, you go into some comfort food and a lot of it's sugar, you're really hurting your bowels and creating massive inflammatory response. That's the latest on health and healing. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break and come back. And when we come back, we're going to go into understanding those who give us misinformation, that's Wikipedia, on areas of health and alternative and complementary medicine, and why in the world aren't they changing? Why isn't the board and its officers and fiduciaries examining all the evidence we've sent them? Well, that's on them. They're not responding. But I can assure you, once we get enough people starting a campaign, making a meme, walk away from Wikipedia and why, and use the articles and the letters to the board as references, and that's hopefully that will get their attention. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Just before we go to this, I just want to mention that there is going to be a meeting of people interested in 5G tonight, and we have produced 100-plus articles for Les Jamieson to pick up. Hopefully, Les will pick them up and hand them out so that the people at the event will have two separate articles that we have written, fully referenced, brand-new articles, on the dangers of 5G. And for those of you who are not aware of it, please try to get to the event. It's going to be, and by the way, there's going to be a live link to the streaming at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's going to be a PowerPoint presentation that will include scientific references and research on the dangers of 5G. The speaker is Professor Beverly Rubick and was part of the recent 5G summit and is world-renowned. So that's going to be, let's see where it's located. I've got everything here except, I have the address. It's the Union Theological Seminary. That's a great place, by the way. Union Theological Seminary, 3041 Broadway. That's at 121st Street and 122nd Street in Manhattan. Again, it starts at 7 p.m. this evening. The Union Theological Seminary Chapel, 3041 Broadway, between 121st and 122nd Street, Manhattan. The Perils of Fifth Generation 5G with Professor Beverly Rubick. And you will really enjoy it. And also, we printed up 100 copies. And I'll try to get another 100 copies available before this afternoon from our office in New York. So we need to support all these, by the way. We need to support all the efforts of all the different people challenging 5G, because everyone else, 99% of the American population, are sitting at home watching the commercials. And if you didn't know anything about 5G, you think, wow, that's great. That's terrific technology. Look at how it connects everyone to everything and makes everything so much easier. It may make some things easier, no question about that. But at what risk to everyone, especially those children, babies, sick people, people with compromised immune systems? We could see one of the worst public health fiascos in all of history because of 5G and the 53,000 satellites orbiting up there. There won't be a place on Earth where you could hide without being impacted by 5G. This article is entitled Quackwatch, Hatred of Acupuncture, with Richard Gell and myself. It is now posted, as well as the letter from our lawyers to Wikimedia, the foundation that controls Wikipedia, its board, and its officers. And by the way, they've tried to block all further communication and correspondence with their board members. And we just have some pretty smart tech people that get the letters to them in any case. Share this everywhere. I've got over 65 articles thus far. So we've just taken deconstructing the myth of the legitimacy and objectivity of Wikipedia. Share those, please. The author of the QuackWatch entry for acupuncture, entitled, quote, "Be Wary of Acupuncture, Qigong, and Chinese Medicine," end quote, is QuackWatch founder Stephen Barrett. It represents QuackWatch's official position on acupuncture that has served the purposes of skeptic organizations, including skeptic editors on Wikipedia, for falsely discrediting this ancient Chinese medical practice. Barrett is sometimes careful to personally call medical practices that have a large following as pseudoscientific. Rather, he is fond of referencing others who are more adversely critical. He quotes Harriet Hall, a sitting member of the QuackWatch Board of Science Advisors and one of the four editors of the QuackWatch-related science-based medicine blog, to draw the association between acupuncture and quackery. Quote, here's what Ms. Hall has to say. Acupuncture studies have shown that it makes no difference where you put the needles, or whether you use needles or just pretend to use needles, as long as the subject believes you use them. Many acupuncture researchers are doing what I call tooth fairy science, measuring how much money is left under the pillow without bothering to ask if the tooth fairy is real, end quote. Stephen Barrett also quotes G.A. Ouellet from an article written in 1984, quote, "Certification of acupuncturists is a sham. While a few of those so accredited are naive physicians, most are non-medical persons who only play at being doctor and use this certification as an umbrella for a host of unproven New Age hokum treatments. Unfortunately, a few HMOs, hospitals, and even medical schools are succumbing to the bait and exposing patients to such bogus treatments when they need real medical care," end quote. All right. Well, on the other hand, we had the World Health Organization listing 27 medical conditions for which it recommends acupuncture. Barrett states that the list, quote, "should have been followed by a statement that the list was not valid," end quote. However, he provides zero specific scientific rationale based upon studies to refute the HMO's recommendations. Among Barrett's 29 chief cited references to support his arguments to denounce acupuncture's efficacy, 26 were published over 15 years ago and 17 are over two decades old. Consequently, the article only has historical importance. It's horribly outdated and has no value for representing the state of acupuncture's research in the 21st century and the advances it has made during that time. In order to discredit acupuncture's diagnostic capabilities, which rely upon traditional Chinese medical theory, Barrett cites a single study whereby, are you ready for this? Six patients were seen by six different acupuncturists on a single day. He notes that each was diagnosed with slight differences. Despite the tiny participant sampling of this study, Barrett cites it as evidence of acupuncture's poor diagnostic skills. Therefore, acupuncture should not be relied upon. However, in conventional medicine, misdiagnosis leading to erroneous treatment is far more pervasive and costly. The same arguments QuackWatch and the skeptics apply to alternative medicine equally apply to standard medical health care. In fact, much more so, because the evidence-based research on diagnostic error is far more thorough and robust. Let me give you some examples. Now, why is this important? Simple reason. Because right now, we, meaning those who are real scientists and objective, have spent 5 years, five of us, PhDs and MDs, looking at only the science from their own studies, which show that iatrogenesis, or medically induced death, is the number one cause of death in the United States, surpassing heart disease or stroke or cancer. And it's also the number one cause of injuries. Now, that does not mean that doctors intentionally set out to hurt anyone. That's foolish. But the consequences of having a poor paradigm from which you are relying for all of your diagnosing and treating and testing itself is grossly flawed and limited. But rather than reform existing medical procedures, including the medical curriculum, what is taught, because they're not taught nutrition at all, tiny little course, a couple hours, and that's it, and all their medical. They're not taught environmental medicine, chemical sensitivities, how living near a toxic dump can impact you because of the particle matter in the air that you breathe in, the quality of your drinking water. You're not taught courses in toxic water. You're not taught about preventing disease. So these are the limitations and omissions of orthodox medicine. Yet no criticism comes by the Quack Watch or these Wikipedia for these shortcomings. They seem to have only bowed a spew when it comes to anything alternative. Here are some facts that they seemed not to have found. We did. A conservative estimate, very conservative, is that 100,000 Americans die annually or permanently disabled due to misdiagnosis. Yet a more recent study conducted by the Society to Improve Diagnosis and Medicine found that medical misdiagnosis may affect 12 million adults. That's one out of every 20 patients every year. And half of these erroneous diagnoses were determined to be harmful. A Johns Hopkins University study identified cancer, cardiovascular events, and infections as the three most misdiagnosed conditions leading to the most severe consequences for patients. A study published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology found that physicians miss or misdiagnose certain cancers up to 44% of the time. A 2013 study in the American Journal of Emergency Medicine reported that over 33% of patients with pulmonary embolism were sent home or admitted to hospitals with a wrong diagnosis. In 1997, with the federal government's founding of the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Medicine, acupuncture has been recognized at the federal level and has increased in popularity dramatically. According to acupuncture.com, there are approximately 18,000 licensed acupuncturists in the United States, and about 12,000 have a regular full-time practice. In many states, these practitioners are considered to be primary care physicians. Now, Quack Watch largely relies upon the National Council Against Health Fraud's position paper on acupuncture, published almost 30 years ago in 1990, to discredit its therapeutic value. All of the scientific references cited in the paper to support their position that acupuncture is, quote, an unproven modality of treatment, quote, bears no relationship to present scientific knowledge, and, quote, fails to demonstrate its effective against any disease, were conducted in the 1980s. The paper's primary goal, based upon a very limited number of outdated studies, is to advance the argument that insurance companies should not provide coverage for acupuncture services and that acupuncture licensure should be phased out. The National Council Against Health Fraud was a nonprofit organization and inaccurately defined itself as a, quote, health agency, end quote, to support consumer protection. The National Council Against Health Fraud, too, was founded by Stephen Barrett, who continues to be responsible for its archives, according to the council's now inactive website. Despite the manifesto's claim that, quote, mentally competent adults should be able to choose to follow any health practices they wished or refuse treatment, end quote, over the years, the organization has aggressively made efforts to limit patient access to alternative medical therapies, file lawsuits against its practitioners, notably chiropractors, and launch public relations efforts to undermine non-conventional medical systems' proven benefits by always emphasizing selective and cherry-picked contrary research. Quack Watch adopts the National Council Against Health Fraud's recommendations regarding acupuncture, meaning, quote, for physicians, they should be educated that acupuncture is at best experimental and is no better than a placebo. Consequently, the medical profession should on no account recommend acupuncture to patients. The council's position for acupuncture being, quote, an experimental procedure, end quote, is based upon a 1981 report by the American Medical Association. For consumers, they should be made aware that, quote, acupuncture cures nothing, end quote, may be harmful, end quote. For legislators, the council's recommendation that, quote, acupuncture licensing should be abolished, end quote. In addition, quote, insurance companies, HMOs, and government insurance programs should not be forced to cover acupuncture, end quote. Skeptic organizations such as Quackwatch and the Center for Inquiry and the Society for Science-Based Medicine, the latter of which grew out of Quackwatch, make their arguments to denigrate alternative medicine based upon the erroneous premise that they represent, quote, scientific consensus. In almost all instances, this claim is patently false. Per acupuncture, the scientific consensus validates the practice in a positive light. Examples. The Independent Joint Commission accredits almost 21,000 programs for hospitals and healthcare organizations while establishing standards for patient care, medical safety, and protecting consumer rights. The commission recommends acupuncture as a first-line treatment for pain management. The National Institutes of Health and the Care Excellence recommends acupuncture treatment for chronic tension headaches and migraines. Upon recommendation from the UK's National Health Services, the majority of British pain clinics and hospices employ acupuncture treatment. Both the American College of Physicians and the American Pain Society recommend acupuncture for low back pain. Other professional institutions who have recommended acupuncture for a variety of conditions, including the World Health Organization, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, the Agency for Health Research, the American Academy of Family Physicians, the American College of Occupational and Environmental Medicine, the United States Department of Health and Human Services, and the Institute for Health Economics, and others. The Acupuncture Evidence Project reviewed 121 treatments over 14 clinical areas and found efficacy in 117 different conditions. That means meeting the strictest standards of does it work? Yes. Is there strong evidence to support it? Yes. Well, if there's 117 conditions with strong evidence, scientific evidence, that it works, why wouldn't we know this? Well, you won't know it because Wikipedia is not going to tell you the truth on this. Strong positive effects was determined for allergic rhinitis, chemotherapy's adverse effects, chronic low back pain, chronic tension-type headaches and migraines, postoperative pain and nausea, and knee osteoarthritis. Other positive evidence was confirmed for acute stroke, obesity, anxiety, fatigue, post-traumatic stress disorder, hypertension, irritable bowel syndrome, hot flashes, schizophrenia, smoking cessation, and more. In effect, Quackwatch and its sister, Science-Based Medicine, are intentionally censoring, with malice aforethought, an erroneous body or an enormous body of scientific research conducted by groups at Harvard University and the Cochrane Database, which is recognized as the international gold standard for much evidence-based medical meta-analysis. Why? In order to continue promulgating acupuncture as an unfounded pseudoscience. Curiously, skeptics, as well as Quackwatch and Wikipedia entries, ignore the lack of efficacy and safety in current conventional biomarker treatments. For example, in 2013, the Mayo Clinic reported that studies examining the evidence that would support standard medical care actually recommended against current practice 46% of the time. In other words, almost half of all standard medical treatment has no evidence to support their use. The numbers, when you consider how many people are being treated, are staggering. They're in the tens of millions. Similar evaluations conducted by the Cochrane Database and the American College of Cardiology arrived at similar results at 49 and 48% respectively. Well, when we consider America's opiate epidemic and the overuse of powerful pain medications that are contributing to a national crisis of addiction and deaths from overdose, never witnessed before in U.S. history, for the skeptics on Quackwatch and Wikipedia to be discrediting a far safer, non-addicting, and effective treatment represents, in our opinion, gross medical negligence that is arguably unethical. The second sentence in Wikipedia's acupuncture page states, quote, this is Wikipedia, Acupuncture is a pseudoscience because the theories and practices of traditional Chinese medicine are not based on scientific knowledge, and it has been characterized as quackery. End quote. Gee, are you an expert in the field? Have you had thousands of patients? Did you go to school? Were you licensed? Have you reviewed the scientific literature supporting the practice? Have you examined the different literature and the courses at the state level before they allow state licensure? No. Have you interviewed thousands of acupuncturists? No. How about millions of their patients? Not one. But suddenly you're an expert, calling it quackery. I see. Further, in the page, it reinforces the intention to have Wikipedia users wrongfully regard acupuncture as fakery. Quote, many within the scientific community consider attempts to rationalize acupuncture and science to be quackery and pseudoscience. So in other words, if you try to defend a therapy that is being attacked, that is legitimate, and the attack is illegitimate, then you are illegitimate for trying to defend it. It doesn't kind of sound like Snowden and Chelsea Manning and Julian Assange and Mr. Drake and so many others. You expose a crime, the criminals then have the right to put you in prison and say you're the problem, not the crime that you've exposed. Interesting. The page references the late Wallace Sampson, an aggressive skeptic, who made a career of attacking alternative medicine. Sampson was also a Quackwatch science advisor, chair of the board of directors of Barrett's National Council Against Health Fraud, and a faculty member of the Skeptics Toolbox, an annual workshop sponsored by the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry to strategize on methods for attacking alternative medicine and parapsychology. Starting in 1997, the program has expanded and offers a three-year academic program in modern skepticism. Sampson was also the chief editor of the defunct peer-reviewed scientific review on alternative medicine, supported by the Skeptic Center for Inquiry, Quackwatch Advisors in Science-Based Medicine. The publication was rejected on four separate occasions for admittance into the National Institutes of Health Library of Medicine due to unsound articles and gross bias. I see. So Wikipedia that says they will not and are not allowed by their internal statutes to use biased information. Were any of the editors, the administrators, the overseers, those who guard with a great passion, it seems, the slanderous statements against users of alternative medicine and its principles like Deepak Chopra, did you know that your own or the supporting publication had been rejected four separate times? It wasn't good enough to make national peer review and wasn't cited in the National Archives, Library of Medicine. Former Professor Edward Ernst, who Quackwatch advisor Harriet Hall regarded as the world's foremost expert on complementary alternative medicine, is cited heavily through, although when we checked, we could not find any professional background in acupuncture nor Chinese medicine. On the Wikipedia talk page for editors working on acupuncture entry, a recent exchange in late October 2019 summarized a systemic problem for alternative medical practices that once labeled as pseudoscience or quackery on the encyclopedia. It is near impossible to have it changed regardless of how much scientific evidence to the contrary. Now, I'm not going to read it, but it's there for you to recite. This is their own internal talk page. We breached their firewall. This is the communication between the editors, and we have it verbatim. We have all of it verbatim. You have no idea the amount that we have of them talking with each other. People who have a clear and stated disliking, hatred for alternative medicine become the editors. And they can make changes. You can't. And this is what passes for objectivity. So, and this was an exchange, encapsulate one of the most glaring problems of unproven scientific bias that dominates Wikipedia pages related to alternative medical theories and therapies and systems and its leading practitioners and advocates. Once a person is labeled as a quack or promoter of pseudoscience, the editorial process has been disproportionately rigged in favor of the skeptic ideology that it's almost impossible to break free of this derogatory image. So once you've been condemned, you stay condemned. Now, that said, I want to finish our program by reading you a letter that was sent today to the board. Quote, to the board and officers of the Wikimedia Foundation, hubris is excessive pride, vanity, and vocal arrogance. A cabal is a faction that operates covertly and in secrecy. A conspiracy is the attempt by a group to cause harm, either illegally or legally, but by illegal means. What do these three seemingly disparate terms have in common? Each applies to a small group editing on Wikipedia secretly and with absolute certainty in their self-righteous zeal to identify and discredit entire medical therapies and disparage the reputations of its practitioners. Attached is an article showing each of these characteristics occurring simultaneously on Wikipedia by a network of organizations and groups who identify themselves as skeptics. These individuals in turn rely upon the opinions of Dr. Stephen Barrett, Dr. Wallace Sampson, Dr. David Gorski as their authorities and as legitimate references to justify their propitious and, in our opinion, absurdly arrogant misunderstanding of acupuncture and other non-conventional medical systems. In dozens of articles, we have deconstructed Barrett's credibility. He is not, in our opinion, a legitimate source for citation in any area of complementary and alternative medicine. In fact, Barrett has made his 40-year career to focus on destroying complementary and alternative medicine and repeatedly revealed his extreme bias and prejudice towards these medical disciplines. By Wikipedia's own standards, he should never have been allowed to be used as a credible source. Barrett and others in the skeptic community have a right to their opinions, granted. However, this does not give them the right to marginalize, victimize, and wrongfully denounce innocent therapists' reputation. Any responsible physician or scientist, before attacking a therapy outside of their expertise or specialty, would ask some reasonable and responsible questions. If all medical doctors, of whom there are tens of thousands now using or recommending a variety of complementary and alternative modalities, were trained in high standards of orthodox medicine, graduated from medical school, took their internship, residency, went on to their practice, and at some point found that what they were doing was not working as they had desired, if they're a conscientious therapist, they will try to find other ways of helping their patients, even if it's no longer a part of the original toolkit that they had. In fact, what we have found is they have turned to these medical therapies, complementary and alternative therapies, whether it is chelation therapy, ozone therapy, all these other therapies, they are trying to see, is there a way to help their patients? This means they have to go through an arduous process of re-educating themselves, spending time and effort, taking classes, workshops, until one day they feel confident and are qualified to use some other therapy. Might be guided imagery. It might be nutrition, or it might be some combination. But that's on them. So at the end of the day, who then is the more principled physician? Those who just go through the motions and do not see the improvement and continue the same thing over and over again ad nauseum, or those who seek to see the results of a therapy benefit the patient and not just the protocol being honored? Yet the evidence that is presented to us is completely denied and rejected by those who restrict all arguments to the contrary to an unsupportable assumption that only orthodox medicine holds value. Everything else is pseudoscience and quackery, they think, that is promoted by those who Jimmy Wales calls lunatic charlatans, a derogatory label that skeptics frequently quote to show that Wales and Wikipedia speak with one voice. For those who have spent their careers becoming educated and practicing complementary and alternative medicine, they are perplexed at this extreme animus and bias by Wales, Wikipedia, and skeptics. Therefore, read carefully the comments by the Wikipedia administrators and editors on the acupuncture talk page and notice their lack of knowledge about acupuncture, their premeditated decision to not accept the peer-reviewed scientific literature that detracts and contradicts their personal ideological motivated biases. As of today, after sending the Foundation's board many articles, we have observed no concerted effort to expunge the biographies of leading proponents of alternative medicine who have been unjustifiably assailed by skeptic editors, despite many requests, nor corrections in glaring misinformation being disseminated by Wikipedia. It continues to be business as usual. It is incumbent upon you as fiduciaries to understand that the Foundation is ultimately legally responsible for this modern-day McCarthyism, and it will not be tolerated. Very truly yours, Neil Greenfield. So that just means the following, that for those of you in this audience who seem that everything is fine and you don't become involved in anything, and then one day you end up with arthritis or advanced cancer or dementia or congestive heart failure or some form of inflammatory bowel disease, and as try as they will, the orthodox model doesn't work for you, and then you want to know, was there something else, and you go to Wikipedia, you'll be discouraged from trying anything alternative. What do you think the consequence of the mindset of a person who is at their wit's end and are told there's nothing more we can do for you, but there are. There are tens of thousands of clinicians that could help you and give you hope because they've had good results. They're just using a different model. But all that is kept from you, and you're not even inclined to go in that direction once you've heard that these people must be lunatic charlatans. And yet some of these people have outstanding results in helping people with environmental illnesses, using orthomolecular psychiatry to rebalance people's natural chemistry, using nutrients and diet, those using body-mind medicine, those using a diet, including a healthy plant-based diet and exercise and stress management like Dean Ornish to reverse heart disease. You wouldn't know about any of this. So when you think that we don't really have a problem, wait till you have the problem in your own personal life and then see how few options you have. And then there'll be that moment, that little clarion moment where you stop and think, wow, I heard Gary talk about that, but I wasn't interested. It didn't impact me, so I just, you know, forgot about it. I suggest you pay attention and take note that the sources of our information are now censored. Google, Facebook, and then, of course, the ultimate McCarthyism of Wikipedia. That's why I'm asking, start a meme, share it, walk away from Wikipedia and explain why. You have the evidence. You have 65 articles. You have at least 9 articles from our lawyers to theirs and to the board. The fact they've chosen to do nothing about it, well, that's on them. Because sooner or later, if this appears in court and it can be shown that they intentionally chose to do nothing and allowed innocent victims to continue being vilified in their hall of shame, a jury will not look lightly at that, nor should you. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for listening and have a nice day.